So now we get the privilege of hearing from our good friend Vivek Jones. He's an international partner of ours. He's from India. He's been studying at Villanova University, and he's going to kind of tell his story and how God's working. And so hope this blesses you. Vivek, we're ready.
Thank you, Phil, for the message. Greetings to you, church. I'm so glad to be here with y'all to meet you. And as I start out, I just wanted to say, it's been 4 years since we've been in the U.S. And we are so grateful for the partnership that Crestview has been to us as a family, and by extension, for the work that goes on in India. And we came here, Ann and I came here first in April of 2016, early April. We came here to meet Phil, to meet Cam, because they had come to India. We came to meet y'all, to get to know y'all, for y'all to get to know us, and we had a great trip to Louisville. But as much as I reflect on that piece of our relationship, I just can't get away from the fact that that happened because the Thompsons came to India. And then as I thought of that, it's because the Thompsons, the Thompson family, Luke grew up over here in this church as a child. The relationship Luke had with Phil was one of the primary reasons because of which y'all as a community again blessed and sent Luke over to India. So I can't just thank enough, especially to Dan and Jan, for raising Luke up the way he is, for the relationship that y'all had over here with Crestview, and then Luke coming there, and then yes, of course, April, we came here. It's a long story. We cannot get away from understanding God and His ways without looking at this long story. We look at the small Bible that we have in front of us, and we think, okay, yeah, you know what? We can read this in a year. It's a long story. And in that long story, God is the main hero. But in His story, He uses people like Peter and John that we read today. He uses people. And Peter and John are involved with the lame man. People are involved. There is this great story, but it's not a story in abstract. It's a story involving people who's involved with people. And as part of that story, we were here in April, an extension of your work in India. We came here, and then God forged this great relationship between you and us as a family, and by extension, again, like I said, the church. And one of the things that we desired at that point was that I get further educated. It's not because I did not know the Bible, but there was a task at hand for me. One of the tasks that I had in hand, at least what I was burdened with, was how to do theology within the South Asian context. And sometimes we think, oh, you just preach the Bible. But very often we crack open the Bible and I ask you what's going on in the book of Revelation. You have no idea. And the reason is there's this great distance between the culture that the Bible was written in and what the authors meant, and this huge gap 2,000 years later where we are looking back, we are sitting over here in Hutchinson, you're talking about the mayor and you know, all these different activities that's going on over here. You have your own businesses and work, and you have no idea how these dots connect. Culture was an important part. So there were two things that were close to my heart. One was be prepared with the Bible, good scholarly stuff. At the same time, be equipped in dealing with culture. And so that's how I went to Westminster, because Westminster was a good school for learning the Bible, for learning theology. And then God in his providence opened the doors for me to do a PhD at Villanova University, where the focus was on culture. And this is exactly what I wanted. And as we as a family went through this, Crestview partnered with us in this progress that we were making. And I really want to thank each one of y'all because y'all partnered with us. When I say Crestview, it's each one of you. And we, the Joneses, are so grateful for what you have done for us. And I think one of the biggest things, as I look back in all these 4 years, is that y'all were a family to us. I knew I had the freedom any day to text Phil and say, Phil, this is what we're going through. This is a need. Is there some way you could help us? I had the freedom to do that with Phil. And Phil, again, by extension, had the freedom to reach out to all of you. You know, we had such great relationship with the elders of this church. Y'all brought us down several times over here to interact with y'all. Our family and our kids, when we talk of our time in the U.S., it's so easy for our kids to talk about y'all, your children. They know your children by name. They were here in the 2017 VBS. 2019, we came over here. We visited y'all, were in your homes. And we thank y'all because y'all were family to us. And that is what the church is. When Phil was talking about, do we do good just to Christians? Of course we do good to Christians. And that's one of the ways y'all have extended and y'all have shown how y'all have invested in us. Y'all were family to us. And we want to thank you for that. And, you know, these really sealed these activities, these relationships, the gifts that y'all have given, the way y'all have supported us, sealed the relationship that we have. And so I just thought it's a good time to update what's going on. You know, what's going on with my family. I'll start off with the children. You know, the children grew and became part of the community that they are in Philadelphia. They go to a local school over there, a good school. They're part of the life in Philly. Believe it or not, my son has a Philly accent. And so that's how much they've become part of the Philadelphia life and culture. It's an amazing city. And they did everything what kids in their age do. They go for birthday parties. They had sleepovers. You know, it's a lot of good things that they were part of. And the kids will never forget this part of their life. We also had time with our family in the region. Luke and Julie know this. We had no relatives anywhere close to Pune when we did ministry because we were from deep south in India. So Pune was further up. We had no relatives. For the first time in our lives, we were in a city, strangely another country, and we had relatives nearby. My uncle lived in New York. Anne's two uncles live, one in Philadelphia and one in New Jersey. And so the time that we had here, holidays we had here, we were part of just life and family and friends, and all to say our kids immersed themselves over here. They loved every moment of their time over here. But Anne loved her time over here. She is a very creative person. I mean, there's so many things I can say, but one of the things I want you all to know about Anne is she's a super creative person. She loves art. She loves beauty. She can look at the stable, stare at the stable for some time, and then she can write a story about the stable in a way that pulls people to appreciate the mundane things of life. She infuses life into that with her narrative. And I'm so gifted to be married to a person who's so creative. And part of that is just because we are in Philly, we see, just like over here, the four seasons. She loves fall. She loves the way the colors change. And so she just enjoyed these last few years over here. She loves the church that we are part of. Even the church that we are part of in Philly called 7 Mile Road, she just loves every member, the pastors, their families. And so even she got fully connected to the life over there. And on top of that, she also got an opportunity to study at Villanova University on full scholarship. So she's doing her second MA in English Literature. I know it's funny. Second MA in English Literature, just because she was getting bored sitting there, she decided she wanted to study. But we wonder, are we simply punishing ourselves, both of us studying full-time grad courses, and the kids also doing school? But that's what she's doing now. She's enjoying it, but you know, it is hard on us as a family. And then 2020 happened. One of our relatives was celebrating his birthday last week, and on group chat, one of her uncles said, "Roy, should we celebrate this at all? You know, because really nothing much happened in 2020. Do we want to just cancel this year out?" And that's what 2020 did to all of us, right? From beginning to end, it's like, what kind of a year is this? And for us especially, it hit us in a significant way, because when we turned into 2020, on the one hand, I was just growing more conscious of what all is going on in India. The government, the BJP, the right-wing Hindutva philosophy government got re-elected for the second time in 2019. And I keep getting the stories of what's going on in India. My heart was burdened. And along with my studies in culture, one of the things that I had to keep reading and writing on was just the oppressed communities in India. More than 50% of the population of India comes from what is called the low caste. And a lot of my work had to do with dealing with the low caste, the oppressed, the vulnerable, the injustices that existed in the various communities in India. And my heart was being broken on that matter. So on the one hand, there was that. On the other hand, I just started getting a bit more anxious for the sake of my kids, because they had become fully Americanized. And if I were waiting for another couple of years, I just didn't know how the kids would transition back into India. And so on the one hand, I was being pulled to go back to India. The other hand, for the sake of my children, I wanted to rush the process now. And so with those two burdens that pressed into us, Anne and I prayed about these things, and we finally decided, you know what? Come May 2021, we should just head back to India. And so we tried looking, you know, for some of y'all, I don't know how clear this is. One of the texts that was laid in my heart was from Micah 6:8. This is the text where Micah is addressing the people, and the people were like, so what do we do, you know, to get back to God, to be reconciled to God? What do we do? Do we sacrifice our children? Do we sacrifice all these rams? And I mean, these are things that you would think, because God said the firstborn belongs to me, you know, among your children, the firstborn belongs to me. And he's the same God who demanded the sacrifices. And so the people were not just asking these random questions. They were like, no, what do we do? What do we do? And the prophet said, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? It's almost like, don't you know that that is what you've got to do? It's not the actions, but the actions at the heart of it is this one thing, that you've got to do justice. You've got to love kindness, the chesed, compassion, kindness, and that you walk humbly before God. And as I was thinking through what Is theology within the South Asian context what I was trying to think and articulate back in 2016? Has that moved? Am I talking of doing justice now? And then as much as I wrestled with these issues, I mean, it goes back to even what Phil was preaching today. I was like, no, these are not two separate things. Showing compassion, doing justice, walking humbly before God, that is theology. That's not a separate task. And so doing theology within the South Asian context demanded that I be immersed in the brokenness amongst the vulnerabilities of the people and be part of what it looks like for that oppression to be released. And so with that in mind, we planned to return in May 2021, but we were clueless. We didn't know, we had no idea where in India we should be going to. India is a big country. There are people who I've met who thought India is like a small dot somewhere. They just didn't know where India was, but India is a big country. I had no idea which city. We had no idea what we could do concretely in relationship to this vision and desire we had, the clarity we have received in time. We had no idea how the kids would integrate back into India because, like I said, they are fully Americanized. Later on, if anyone is interested, I can even explain some about that. We had no idea how I would earn an income to sustain this. You know, what is the next steps? We had not planned on returning in May 2021. This was suddenly, you know, thrust upon us from within. And we had no idea how would we sustain ourselves. What do I do about that? And we had no idea of how I would finish my PhD. Everything was going good with the PhD. What was I going to do with that? And these were things we prayed about. And then I made a phone call. I called someone in India. This was the husband of a girl I had discipled for many years. And I called this guy because he and I, you know, I tried discipling him over the phone, even from the US. So I called him one day and I said, Abel, so this is what's going on. We're thinking of coming back in May 2021. This is my desire. This is my burden. This is my vision. I have no idea what to do. And he said, Vivek, why don't you consider looking at the nonprofit sector? I had never thought of the nonprofit sector. And I was like, that seems like a good idea. I've not thought about this. Let me just give some thought to this. And then I called the only guy I know in the nonprofit sector that I knew of. He's another guy we had discipled in our church. Again, the Thompsons know him. His name is Abhishek. I called him because he is based in Delhi. He's a lawyer at the Supreme Court now. He studied at Georgetown University over here, law, and he went back to India. And I called Abhishek and I said, Abhishek, this is what's going on in our lives. This is what I want to do. Abel mentioned that what I want to do is probably in the lines of what the social development world is doing. I know you are involved with the nonprofits. You do a lot of pro bono work. Do you know of anything that any way I could be of use within this sector? And so he said, well, Vivek, now that you called, I know of an organization, a Christian organization, which has been looking for someone for the last 8 months, and they've still not found anyone. They've got several resumes, but they've still not found someone that they've wanted to recruit for a certain position. I asked him, what is the position? He said, it is a very senior position. It is the South Asia director position. I was like, whoa, okay. I asked, is there any other position? He said, no, why don't you simply throw your resume into the mix? And you know, I'll give you their email ID. So, I mean, Luke was in the loop of this. I called Luke up and I said, Luke, there's this position out there in this particular organization. They're a big organization. They've been interviewing so many senior people. I got the names of the people who they had interviewed and they had already rejected. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm just sending my resume. So I sent it. A couple of guys, the leaders in Pune, were praying for me. Luke and, you know, all praying. Phil was praying. Long story short, I went through several stages of interview with them. The fifth stage of the interview was in Washington, D.C., because their head office is in Washington, D.C. They invited me there. After that, they called up my old, the organizations I worked with. They called up Bosch, because I was in management at Bosch. They called up this guy in Germany. They talked to him for one and a half hours. This was reference checks going on by now. They talked to my PhD supervisor at Villanova University. They talked to him at length. And finally, it was just, I think, over a month ago, they sent me an offer letter for the position of the South Asia director. And the organization's name is Justice Ventures International. Justice Ventures International. They're based in DC, but they are operating in South Asia, and they have offices in four cities in India and one in Nepal. So they are there in Delhi, Mumbai, Calcutta, three of the biggest cities in South Asia. This is Patna, and then Kathmandu in Nepal. And the key words that drives JVI is, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And I was suddenly drawn to the work of JVI. JVI at its leadership is the evangelical Christians with a passion for South Asia. We invest everything to rescue the least and the lowest in India and Nepal from the atrocities of human trafficking and urban injustices. I don't know how much you all know of human trafficking. I'll come to that soon. And we are concerned also about spiritual change. So it was not just about saving people from the injustices, their captivity, but it is about how does the good news of Jesus, pretty much like Phil said, how does the witnessing now look like? And for that, what JVI has done is that we have partnered with churches for this process, because we believe church is where that real change happens. The spiritual change is brought in by the church. So here are some facts that might be of interest for you. There are 8 million trafficked people in India. 8 million. We're talking of the population of New York City. Imagine the entire population of New York City has been trafficked. They are under slavery. That is the number of people in India who are trafficked. Each year, up to 20,000 Nepali women and children are trafficked into India. And this is for sexual exploitations and bonded labors. They're brought into fields and farms, and then they are kept captive over there to work the fields. Every year, 20,000 from Nepal come in. Over 13 million households live in crowded urban slums. If you get a time today, some point, go and Google what life in a slum looks like, just the images of that. 13 million, we are talking of the population of New York City and LA, your top two cities put together. Club it, that entire population living in shanty tin roofs with nothing on. This is the statistics of people under injustices, crime. And JVI believes the solution to global injustice is strong partnership at the local, regional, and global level. So what they do, what we do as an organization is we secure justice for individuals, people under such captivity. We have our own staff, we have our own investigations team who go and find out in these fields where they're hidden. We go and we secretly try to talk to them, get their stories out, then involve ourselves with the government, with the cops, and then try to help aid a rescue of these individuals. And even during this coronavirus time, we've had some phenomenal stories of rescues that have happened just in the last few weeks even. The other thing that JVI does is that we strengthen justice organizations within the country. And so we come alongside other organizations which are doing similar work, and finally we even we improve justice systems. We come alongside legal systems in India. We're talking of the Supreme Court, the lawyers, policy making. We are involved in all of that. But here's the thing, we are also involved in capacity building of local churches like Crestview in India to help them be equipped in doing this work. And so in light of that, they asked me to be in their Delhi office, because in South Asia, Delhi is their head office. And so Anne and I looked at each other and said, okay, so Delhi, here we come. This is what May 2021 is going to look like. Delhi is the capital city of India. It's up there. Can you all see New Delhi on the map somewhere there? Somewhere on the top? Pune is further below the mid of India, if you look. There's a city called Pune. Anne and I are from the deep south, on the left edge of, you can see some big names written there, but that's where we are from. We did our ministry in Pune, but now we are heading towards Delhi. Some facts about Delhi. The population of Delhi is over 30 million people. Okay, that's a lot of people. I don't know how many canvases you need to put together to get that. We're talking of multiple New York City populations crowded into one city. That is New Delhi, over 30, yeah, 10 times. It's a huge city. It is the power center. It is the power center. In that regard, you can think of Washington, D.C. This is where power moves. The ministers, the secretaries. This is where policy making happens. It is also the intellectual capital of India. The best universities of South Asia, the best universities of Asia are in Delhi. 82% practice Hinduism in that city. Christianity accounts for 0.87%. Of course, there are other religions like Sikhism, Buddhism, Islam, which are way more. Unfortunately, Delhi also leads the list of global cities with the worst air pollution. So that's some facts about Delhi. I'm just saying this so that you get a picture of what's going to happen to the Joneses, where are we going, what kind of a place this is going to be. So the next step is, I move to Delhi in December 2020, that is in another 2.5 months, I will be out of this country. And so this is one of the last opportunities I get to come over here, meet with you all, share with you all my joy, and to express my gratitude to you as a church before I leave. I will be away for 3 months. I'll be based out of Delhi. I'll be working out of Delhi. Even now, I spend some time with them out of Zoom calls, the team in India. The whole family moves only by May 2021 because that's by when Anne finishes her master's. And so I will be back in April in Philly, and then for the next 2 months, I'll just help in the transitioning process. And by May, we all head back to Delhi. Crestview, we value your partnership. We value the investment that you've put in us. We value the prayers that you have extended to God on our behalf. And I want to thank you because that has got us through all these years. We value your support, and we continue valuing that even until we leave in May 2021. But we also request prayers for children, for their school admissions, for their transition. It is a huge change for them. It's a sea of change. And as parents, we are often torn between, are we doing the right things? What about the kids? Is this going to be loving for the kids? How selfish should we be? You know, how much of it should be about us where we take care of our family for a change? You know, those are real tough questions that those who are in ministry go through. And not just, you know, people who are in full-time ministry, even people who are called to eldership. Ask these questions all the time. And so we have some tough decisions ahead of us. I request prayer for the work that I'll be doing, because this is a very responsible position that they have put me in. And one of the things that I've always dreamt of, and all of us dream of in some way, you know, what kind of impact can we have in our neighborhood, in our city, in our town? And I've had those same questions. What kind of impact can I have as a Christian? And we used to keep praying, even in Marg, you know, how could I be used? Even as I came to the U.S., how can I be used in terms of doing theology within the South Asian context? That's too big a dream. South Asia, that's too such a big... Vivek, you're in Pune. Let your mind come down. Settle down. Pune, Baner, your neighborhood, that is where you belong. But then we have a God whom we can continue praying for. Praying to. And we just kept this prayer. And now God has opened up this place in such a way that the reach of the impact is across the whole of South Asia. And He's placed me in that position with many excellent people on the team that I'm working with. And I want to thank you, because your partnership, your prayers for us mean a lot, because now it is having even an influence across South Asia, across these different countries, not just India, but all the same similar ethnic groups. And so I want to continue thanking you for the support that you've extended to us. Now, as I close, I just want to wind it down by reminding something else just that Phil said out of today's sermon, but using just different words. As Christians, we tend to fall on one side or the other. And that's usually the case. Some people call it the heat and the light. Some people want to be all about the actions and not about the revelation. Some people want to be all about the revelation and nothing about the action. If I may put it in another way, some people are all about the king, but they have nothing to do with the kingdom. And some people are like all about the kingdom, but they don't want the king. My prayer for Crestview is that we would be a people who would be passionate about the king and be present in his kingdom right over here. We would be a people who is passionate about the king, but we would stretch our arms, our legs, not just in our neighborhoods, but go even beyond and be involved with the work that is already the way y'all have partnered with us in India and all these different places. We are a people who is about a king who he himself is passionate about the kingdom, that we would be the people who would say, may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth here as it is in heaven. We should be a people who are all about the king and the kingdom. Let's not be the Christians who would swing one way and avoid the other. Thank you once again.